Welcome to the Industry Insights podcast from Altra Consultants. Altra is a leading independent enterprise software consulting firm serving the manufacturing and distribution industries. Hosted by Altra's Strategic Alliances Director, Michael Chesin, the Industry Insights podcast shares insights from today's top ERP providers in manufacturing and distribution. Here's your host, Michael Chesin.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Industry Insights podcast from Altra Consultants. My name is Michael Chesin, Alliance Director with Altra Consultants. This podcast series will focus on bringing you industry-focused insights from today's top ERP providers. It's my pleasure to introduce Andrew Roblings, Senior Product Manager with Epicor. Andrew has over 20 years of experience in the manufacturing industry. Andrew was educated at Princeton University and began his career in the ERP MES world as a successful implementer of ERP in the automotive space. While working with Epicor, he spent time as an implementer, a solution engineer, and a product manager. In his current role, Andrew is a principal product manager for manufacturing and supply chain with a focus on ERP and the smart factory. Andrew, thanks for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and give our listeners a background on Epicor?
Yeah. Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I think you told most of my story, but maybe just a couple of facts might help fill in some of the blanks. I'm based out of the Toronto, Canada area, and I actually started working in manufacturing as a teenager as a job between school years. I spent my summers working in a plastics plant where we did molding and assembly for automotive interior parts. We actually made the dashboards for Volkswagen, would be one of the lines that we produced at the time. And while I was there, I actually worked in the compounding departments. I was primarily responsible for mixing up the resin for the production lines. As far as Epicor, I guess to put it succinctly, Epicor is a software company. Our headquarters are in Austin, Texas, but we do have offices around the globe. We make products that are aimed at the manufacturing, distribution, retail, and services industries. I'm part of the manufacturing group, and we are a leader in ERP, EDI, and smart technology, for example. We've got a strong presence in the plastic industry, and we have customers deploying our software on-premise and in the cloud.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that, Andrew. So to get started, let's touch on a topic that's affecting nearly every industry at the moment, which is the COVID-19 pandemic. What are some of the initiatives that Epicor has taken during the pandemic to help their customers?
Well, Michael, at Epicor, we call what's been going on the new now. And to us, the new now is the current state of the economy, industries, businesses, leaders, and operating procedures as we adapt to the extraordinary changes taking place in the world. I've heard the term the new normal for the current state, but to me, things don't really feel normal at all right now. I can tell you that. And I'm sure a lot of other people would agree with me. Some examples of initiatives we've done at Epicor include things like offering incentives to our customers to allow organizations that maybe they're on premise right now, but allow them to make immediate steps towards the cloud. That positions our customers a lot better to allow their users a remote access to their system. We also have an offering called the Epicor Learning Center that we've been giving to our customers for a month free. And we've done a whole bunch of live training webinars and on-demand sessions that address things like optimizing work conditions. For our existing customer base today, we've also deferred and extended payment options to our customers and given them other neat things, I think, like 30-day free access to our Epicor University Learning Center. So that's kind of where they can get some education to help them in maybe new areas that they haven't extended into during these times that are happening right now. And then we've also done things like we've got technical services for customers to help with setting up remote users. And we've even got some free trials that we've done. We've got a 90-day free trial to our customers of a tool we call Epicor Collaborate, which we think is something that would help our customers collaborate remotely a lot better than they could without it today.
Well, that's great. So we've talked about smart technology. Can you elaborate what that means for our loyal listeners who may not be familiar with that term?
Yeah, sure. I know it can mean a lot of things. I like to think of smart technology in manufacturing as technology that helps improve efficiency and helps to eliminate manual steps of work. So some examples I would think would include in that category would be things like the Internet of Things or IoT, artificial intelligence, machine learning, manufacturing execution systems. I know for for me, one thing that really got my attention about smart manufacturing and the potential for smart manufacturing was something that actually happened to a friend of mine. He actually had a smartwatch, and I imagine many people in your audience here might have smartwatches as well. But his particular smartwatch one day told him that he was experiencing atrial fibrillation. And what I thought was really cool about that story was that the watch told him this, and that prompted him to go to the hospital. And I guess with atrial fibrillation, it's some kind of irregular heartbeat. So they had to shock his heart back into line and kind of figure out what the root cause was of why that happened. But without his watch telling him that, who knows what would have happened. And I like to think of it like the same as a machine in a way. Not that my friend's a machine, right? But if you think of a machine, and a machine's not going to have a smartwatch on it, but it might have something like a sensor attached to it. And that sensor might be monitoring something that's important about that machine and alerting people, you know, when there's a problem. So that's my introduction to smart technology. It means a lot more than IoT. I think there's a lot of technology that comes into play when we're talking about smart technology, but really think of the technology that helps to improve efficiency and eliminate manual steps and things that are happening today out there.
Wow, that's quite a story, and I hope your friend's doing okay. So later this month, you're going to be participating in a webinar with Altra entitled Unleash Your Hidden Capacity with Smart Technology. And a key topic that you'll cover is the hidden factory. Can you describe what that is and why it might be important to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I'm really looking forward to that upcoming webinar. The hidden factory isn't a new concept. It's been around for a while, since the 70s. And it's not a physical place like you might think. The hidden factory represents the untapped capacity of a manufacturing plant. So think of it as the maximum amount of additional production that you could unlock without capital investment. You can uncover the hidden factory by doing things like reducing waste, defects, reducing rework, reducing downtime, and improving efficiency would be some of the key areas typically we target when we're trying to reduce that hidden factory that's out there today.
I see. How can our customers calculate what their hidden factory potential might be?
Well, Michael, there's actually a formula for calculating your hidden factory. And I think the easiest way to do this is to try and make it simple for the audience is to think of a single resource first off. Maybe it's an injection press of some sort as an example. I don't know what businesses our audience might be in. But if you look at the number of good pieces that were produced on that resource during a day, and then you multiply that by the ideal cycle time that that resource should have been producing at, that's going to get you what we call your fully productive time. Okay. And then that might work out to something like maybe that works out to 5 hours for that resource, because maybe 3 of those hours was produced with scrap, downtime, whatever else might be involved out there. So the hidden potential of that resource then would be all the time available. So let's say it's maybe just an 8-hour shift minus your fully productive time. If we look at the example I just gave, then that would mean that your hidden potential on that resource is 3 hours. And the idea would be that that can be compounded across how many resources and shifts, et cetera, that you might have out there.
Uh-oh, I was told there would be no math. Let's talk about the financial impact and what financial impact will reducing a customer's hidden factory have on their organization.
Yeah, so let's take a look at that earlier example I had. So we ended up with about 3 hours of untapped capacity over that course of that one shift. And Michael, you're not going to like this, but if everyone breaks out their calculators, you find out that over the course of a year, that's actually over 1,000 hours of hidden capacity for just one resource running one shift. If you look at the number of resources you have, and let's assume they're all maybe in a similar situation, that can add up to some real significant hours very fast. I've messed around with a return on investment tool that I've used that shows that small incremental improvements can easily add up to hundreds of thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars, depending on what that improvement is. So just doing something simple like improving cycle efficiency by a small percentage point or percentage points can come out to a real win.
Andrew, how does smart technology come into play when you talk about uncovering the hidden factory?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's part of the reason I wanted to do this presentation around improving the hidden factory with smart technology. Because, you know, I think with technology available now, like IoT and the artificial intelligence, machine learning, etc., I think we have never been in a better position to take advantage of smart technology to help uncover the hidden factory. I was actually recently speaking with a customer about how not having smart technology in place left them in a very difficult place. In their case, they actually had a machine that supplied hydraulic fluid to a couple of CNC machines. And one night when those CNC machines were running, you know, it was a night shift, they had limited staff, and that machine developed a leak. The end result was when they came into the plant the next morning, they had fluid all over the floor, first off, so there was a mess. But more importantly, they'd had some critical component failures on the CNC machines themselves. And you can imagine that left them in a real difficult situation, both from a customer satisfaction point of view, because now they can't get parts out that they were supposed to be getting out to a customer on time, and the cost, right? So I guess lowest cost would be fixing the machines themselves, but you know, who knows what kind of damage might have been done to the customer satisfaction level at that point. Maybe they ultimately lost some business. I don't know the end result there. But immediately after that issue, they started looking at IoT as an answer, where they could have a simple fluid level sensor monitoring the fluid level and then have an alert go out, or maybe even create a maintenance order, something like that. They just never wanted that situation to ever happen again. And that drove them to implementing some smart technology in their facility. In their case, they started implementing some IoT in there to try and stop that kind of downtime instance from happening. Maybe alerting them earlier, they might have had a small amount of downtime. Wouldn't have been a big deal instead of having that large downtime component where they've got maybe ordering parts that are going to take a certain amount of time to get in to fix those machines.
Andrew, we're out of time, but thank you so much for taking the time to share your expertise with us. Big thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you'll join us on the next installment of Ultra's Industry Insight series next month. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining today's Industry Insights podcast from Ultra Consultants, leading independent enterprise software consultants serving the manufacturing and distribution industries. Check ultraconsultants.com/podcast to listen to this monthly series with your host, Michael Chesin.